Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, was Rex right? Peyton Manning studies film like a bookworm, and you go see the Lombardi play on Saturday night with the Jets on TV. Where is your commitment to winning football games, Brady?
Oh, man, I think everybody's obviously entitled to their opinion, and maybe he's right, so, he's a good coach, so, I'll just keep getting ready like we've done all year, and hopefully we go out and play well on Sunday night, and it's going to be an exciting week for us. You know, I think everyone is already, you know, in the game week mode, and getting ready, getting prepared, and it's going to be a hell of a game. It's going to be a tough game, but I'm excited to play the Jets again.
All right, Tom, be honest with us. When you hear Rex say that, or hear that he did say that, does it anger you, amuse you, or motivate you?
I don't think any of the above. You know, I don't think anything that people really say has bothered me, good, bad, or indifferent over the years. I mean, it's just everybody has their opinion of people and things and places, and all I know is that I feel really confident with our team and the way our team prepares each week, and I'm sure we'll be prepared going to this game on Sunday. So I don't think the only thing that I really care about is us being ready to play each week, and I think that's what someone may say about it. I mean, I have a lot of respect for him as a coach and his ability to get his team ready. So, he does what he needs to do, and I think we're going to do what we need to do.
So you're telling me that Anthony Smith back in the day didn't piss you off a little bit? Because you not only targeted him, you tortured him in that Pittsburgh game.
I think there's, you're motivated by different things. I think we're all at the point this year we're motivated by much more than what someone may say to us or about us. We're motivated by the fact that we got a great opportunity to be playing, a division rival at home for the most important game of the year. So that's plenty of motivation for us. And, we're going to let our play do the talking as we always do. And, there's going to be a lot of hype and build up and, people saying things. And the reality is none of it matters. And what matters is that whistle is going to blow at 4:30 on Sunday night. And the team that executes the best and is the most prepared is going to be the team that wins. I mean, I think you cut right to it. There's going to be a lot of things said this week, but none of it's going to matter. Mm-hmm. What's going to matter is how well we're prepared and how well we execute on Sunday.
One thing he did say that I'm not sure you'd dispute is he said you get a lot of help from Belichick, or you have over the years, and Peyton doesn't even look for help from the coaches, tries to do it himself. Would you disagree with that?
I get a ton of help from our coach.
Right.
I mean, of course we do. We all as players, I think we have the best coach in the history of football. I think we got a great offensive staff, a great defensive staff, ones that get all the players prepared. Coach talks about being a smart, tough, physical football team that plays well under pressure. And part of us being smart and prepared and ready to play is, our coaches doing their homework. So, we use whatever we can to get ready to play, and the guys that are on this team certainly buy into what our coaches teach us. And coach comes in every Wednesday morning, it'll be Tuesday morning this week, and say these are the things we need to do to win, and he's right, damn near 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So if we can go out there and play that way this Sunday, then I think we're all pretty confident that we're gonna play a great game, and if we play a great game, we're gonna be tough to beat.
We always that subject comes up on occasion. What if Manning and Brady had switched places? If Manning had played his career for Bill Belichick, do you have any doubt that he'd have more than one ring?
I mean, there's so many hypotheticals. I mean, there's 25,000 different scenarios you can come up with. He's a hell of a player, and I've always admired the way that he plays. And that's right, his preparation is second to none. I know him very well, and we've talked over the years about different ways to prepare. And he loves the game, and he thinks about the game, day in and day out. And like all the great players do, just like, you know, the Vince Wilforks do and the Dion Branches do and the Wes Welkers. You know, it, when you come home at night after practice, you're thinking about practice. You're thinking about what you're going to do the next day. You know, it's pretty interesting. I did see that show, you know, on Saturday night, the Lombardi Show, and it's pretty interesting when you look from the outside in the perspective of a coach. And I know Coach Belichick, I mean, they constantly are thinking about the game. And one game ends, and then, yeah, you know, it's great, we won. And then immediately, you know, you start thinking about the next opponent and go, God, this game's going to be tough, and how are we going to beat these guys? And I think all of us think that way, and it's not something that you – you know, you check out of your job at, you know, 5 o'clock, 5, 6 o'clock, and you say, okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow morning. Mm. It's always on your mind.
Tom, when Bill Belichick says something, my guess is because of his resume and his success, he has the cachet of everybody in that room saying, what he told us is probably true. If we do what he says, we will win. Now, I know you haven't played for the other 31 coaches in the National Football League, but do you think the likes of, I know you're not going to, yeah, disrespect a Singletary or a Childress, but do you think other coaches get up and say stuff and guys in the meeting room go, I'm so sure that's going to work? That doesn't happen with Bill Belichick, right?
Well, I've never been in those other rooms. I don't know what they talk about. I don't know what they say. I do know that, you know, Coach Belichick, he doesn't, when he speaks to us, he just speaks the truth. That's all he does. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't lie to us. I mean, if we're not playing good, he tells us. If we're playing good, he'll tell us we played good, but he's not going to sugarcoat things. You know, if you know, there's a bunch of BS going around, he doesn't buy into that. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the only people that can really change the fate of you know, what we are able to do each week is the guys sitting in the room. So, I mean, he doesn't buy into all the other stuff and to the buildup and to, you know, the reporters to make their job easy by giving them a bunch of stories. I mean, he's committed to doing what's best for our football team, and you know, the players respect that more than anything. And you respect that he does tell the truth, and he coaches everybody the same way. And he coaches, you know, an 11-year veteran like myself that's been here this whole time the same way he coaches a rookie tight end. Mm-hmm. And I think the players respect that. So, you know, it takes a certain kind of football player to play at the Patriots, and I think those are always the kind of guys that he's looking for. And, you know, it's worked out well for us this year. I think, you know, we've got a great opportunity. Like I said, we've had a good season, but really none of it means anything at this point. Now we're all in the same boat. And, you know, I think it's up to us to go out and earn it this week. And I think it starts with a great day of practice tomorrow. We, you know, obviously everyone's been preparing since that game ended on Saturday night. So, you know, everyone's going to be, you know, ready to go. I promise you that.
Tom, I understand, everybody understands the value of that extra week to heal up and get right physically and all of that. But specifically, what advantage does the extra week provide for your coaching staff and you in terms of cerebrally getting ready for this football game? Why is that bye week extra that Belichick and you have such a good record afterwards so helpful?
Well, I think you can sit back and really, you know, look at the things that I mean, you can really get a jump start on the opponents. You know, I think we all, you know, the coaches and you know, some of the other players in particular got a good jump on any of the three teams that we could potentially have faced. So, as well as, you know, look at some of the things that we've done and evaluate those and see what hasn't worked so well and see what's worked well, and then, you know, see how we can incorporate those into, you know, these games. So, you know, I think everyone's trying to get to the stuff that they do best this time of the season. And, you know, we've got to continue to be balanced on offense. I mean, I think that's one thing that's really showing up with our running game, to be able to run the football in critical situations. And, our execution in the passing game can always be better. There's no doubt about that. And I think we spent 2 days of practice out there on Wednesday and Thursday and very I would say intense training camp-like practices, you know, getting ready for this week's opponent. Because whoever this opponent was going to be, you know, was going to definitely improve from the previous weeks. And I'd say the Jets definitely have done that. They're a better team this Monday than they were last Monday. So I think we were committed to making sure we felt the same way about our team.
So I'm just trying to get my mind around this, Tom. I was in front of the TV like most New Englanders, watching every play, every snap of this game. It was a great game. You were in a theater watching the Lombardi play, correct?
Yeah.
How'd you find out who won?
I saw the second half of the game.
Oh, you did.
I got home and watched the second half. You know what happens with me is I get very anxious watching those games. And then I watched the second half, and I was actually kind of pissed that I watched it because I didn't go to sleep till 3 in the morning. So, you know, you just get riled up as I watch them, and then I start rooting for a team to win, and then, you know, that's not really what I want to be doing. So, you know, I figure I'll get enough. I'll see the game. I mean, I've seen that game. Something I want to do with my wife.
Did people leave you alone, or were they all saying, hey, Jets just scored, or the Colts just scored, or...
No, I was checking my BlackBerry from time to time. So I wanted to see, you know, what the score of the game was. But it was something that you know, we knew we were going to be there. So I actually didn't know who'd be playing on Saturday night, and you know, you get those tickets pretty far in advance. So
it's on.
I still probably wouldn't have been watching. I mean, like I said, I got suckered into watching the second half by my two best friends. So I probably wouldn't have watched it if they had said, let's just sit down and watch, because they like watching football with me because they can learn a little bit. But like I said, it's just, I don't know, I used to watch all the Monday night games, and then I get, you know, a little riled up watching those. So I just try to get, you know, I love watching. It's just, you know, I don't like, you know, getting all fired up on a Monday night at 11:30, you know, or in this case, a Saturday night at 11:30.
Tom, in your estimation, what's the single most important element that separates winners versus losers in the National Football League in the postseason? And the reason I ask this question is, if you say the best quarterback, well, this weekend Sanchez beat Manning. If you say the best coach, Pete Carroll beat Sean Payton. If you say the team that owned the turnover battle, both the Jets and Green Bay turned it over more than the teams that they beat. Home field advantage didn't help Kansas City and Philadelphia. So in your estimation, what's the one element that separates winning from losing in the postseason?
Well, I mean, I don't think you're ever going to find one stat that tells a story. I mean, I think each of those things, you know, I wouldn't say individually, God, you know, this team's got a better coach, or this team's got a better quarterback, this team's got a better nose guard, or I don't think any of those really matter. I think what matters is decision-making. I think that's the key to being a good football team, everybody making good decisions, and that's good decisions during the week of practice and getting your rest. That's being prepared for the week. And then ultimately it comes down to decision-making on game day, and everybody collectively has to do that. The guys who handle the ball, you know, the defensive players, and, you know, reading their keys and playing discipline. And, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why teams win or lose. And, you know, you can look at each of these games and the key critical plays in these games. You know, it certainly doesn't matter home field advantage or any of that. And that makes no difference. We've won plenty of big games on the road, you know, against great coaches and great quarterbacks over the years. So, you know, what it comes down to is the guys collectively, you know, being prepared, being ready to play, being so prepared that you can go out there and play with anticipation and confidence on game day. And then ultimately it comes down to when the whistle blows, you know, everybody on the field making great decisions and executing well. I mean, I think that's when you watch these games, that's what I'm looking for. I mean, the guys who are prepared and you know, not buying into all the distractions and all the hype, and the guys who are ready to play. I think that's more so than anything.
On Sunday at 4:30, Tom, does 45-3 have any effect? Does it matter at all? That's the theme in New York right now, that the fact that you guys just kicked the crap out of them a month ago gives them a chance for revenge. In fact, Dustin Keller said it's payback time.
Well, you know, I think that, no, I mean, I don't think it's going to have any bearing on what happens this weekend. I mean, not in any situation. I mean, but like I said, you know, you can have the whole team talk and, you know, we're going to get them back and we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to play this and we're going to play that. And that doesn't mean anything either. So, you know, to me, it's just, you know, it's just, it's a lot more hype than this substance. And what really matters is what you do when the game starts. So, you know, we could sit here and make a bunch of predictions and these are all the things we're going to do and these are all, And that's just not the way we go about our business. We let our play do our talking. So, you know, we handled it the same way. There was the same thing going into the last game. You know, it was all this hype and build up and talking, and this is what we're going to do. And then, you know, the whistle blows, and then you got to go play. And, you know, that's the same way it's going to be this week. We're going to see who's ready to play. And, you know, that's you know, we're not going to buy into all that. We're going to go out and prepare hard like we always do. And get ready to play the game.
All right, Tom, let me come at it from this angle, and then we'll drop it. Did you take Psychology 101 at Michigan?
Yes, I did.
You did? So not just basket weaving.
But he cheated off of Charles Woodson.
All right,
I did get a 2.0 my first semester, so I wouldn't say I think I did pass my psych class, though.
Psych 101. Okay. I will grant you, and we will buy into what you're saying, what Bill is saying is true, that week 2 versus the Jets and week 13 with the Jets will have nothing to do with the outcome when you get to the field on Sunday. However, from a psychological standpoint, does a 45-3 win help your confidence more or motivate them not to get embarrassed and humiliated again? There's got to be a little tweak of the needle one way or the other.
No, I mean, I think the only thing you look at is you say, okay, well, you know, look, we played them. This is how we match up. If we play well, you know, we can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it doesn't need to be by 42 points. I mean, that's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to beat them by 1 point. You know, it's going to take a lot of great execution. There's a lot of reasons why that game ended up the way it ended up. That doesn't mean to say that, you know, they're not going to come here going, wow, let's try to repeat that and let's do all the same things that we did in that game. I'm sure they're going to look at that film and say, okay, these are all the things, you know, we got to do to make adjustments to the thing that the Patriots are
doing.
So,
right.
You know, we're going to evaluate that game film too, and so are they. And they're going to put together what they think is best for this week's game, and so are we. So, I mean, they're very much the same team that they've been all season long. You know, after that game, they didn't change at all.
Mm.
You know, they just said, we got to, you know, they look like the same team. They just, like, for example, the Colt game. They went out and played a great game against the Colts. And, you know, they deserve to win that game. They made some big plays when it mattered. You know, like they've done all year, they've really come back in a bunch of games. Houston game, the Cleveland game, the Detroit game. You know, they've showed a lot of resiliency and mental toughness, and you know, that's why they're in the position that they're in. So, you know, I think we got to understand the strengths of their team and, you know, hopefully not play into those strengths like we did in week 2. And, you know, we've got to go out there and play a great game of football in the biggest game of the year. And you know, I think everyone by the end of the week is going to get tired of talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, you know, I think that's why we've known these guys so well. I mean, it's you know, the preparation is going to be what it is, but there's going to be no you know, because we know them so well, it's not going to be a big trick game. It's not like, you know, they're going to surprise us when we play anything, or we're going to surprise them. It's the team that comes out and blocks better and tackles better and makes better decisions and, you know, doesn't turn the ball over, gets the ball in the red area, converts on third down, plays well in situational football. That's the team that's going to win the game.
So you don't think you're going to see any wrinkles from them, just a little here or there, and you guys aren't going to dust off the Statue of Liberty play that's on page 900 of your playbook?
No, I mean, I think that's, you know, that's the point is, you know, the team is what it is
right.
At this point. It's not, and you're not going to go, man, you know, we're, you know, they just beat the Colts. It's not like they're going, okay, well, God, we sure got to reinvent everything now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the die's been cast on both sides of the ball. You know, they're going to do the things that they think they do best, and that works well against us. So that's what game planning is all about. You're not trying to go in there and say, okay, well, these are all our, you know, this is they're not going to be working on this stuff. You're going to go in there and say, okay, you know, these are the things that you know, we need to do to beat these guys based on what we have perceived weaknesses in their defense or perceived weaknesses in their offense, and we're going to try to. You know, use those to our advantage. That's what game plan is all about.
People who are trying to find a way that the Jets win this game and turn this whole thing around, whether they be Jets or Jets fans or media members in New York, are all eventually getting to, well, they lost Jim Leonard a day or two before that Monday night football game. In your estimation, how big of a loss would that be? Would that be like Mayo going down, your defensive glue that kind of holds it all together the day before a game?
Well, I don't know the role that he really, you know, just of the film study,
yep.
You know, they know the kind of leader that he is. He obviously was that, and he's been starting for them since the day he got there. And you know, Rex obviously has a lot of confidence in him, but, you know, they have a lot of confidence in all their guys. I mean, they lost Chris Jenkins, and they still had a hell of a year. So, you know, Revis was out for some time during this season, and they played very well. So, you know, there's no really one player or one, you know, scheme that makes a team or defense or offense. It's collectively that group that plays well together. So, you know, he was a hell of a player for him, and you know, we've had a lot of players that go down with injury too. So, you know, we're going to – the guys who are out there this week, they're expected to go out there and play their best, whoever that may be for our offense. And, you know, we're going to play to the strengths of our players, just like I'm sure that the Jets will do the same.
So I just want to get this out of the way. Would you recommend the play? Did you like the play? And do you think 20, 30 years from now there'll be a hit on Broadway called Belichick?
It was good. I haven't been to many of those shows. So, you know, one of my best friends knew the guy who was producing the show. So he said, "You're in New York. Maybe you want to go see this play." And I had heard a bunch about it. I know Teddy Bruschi had gone and seen it and really liked it. So, you know, I asked my wife if she wanted to do it, and she said, "Sure." You know, so it was really good. I mean, I think there's a lot of history that Coach Belichick talks about with us, and the history of the game and why it is the way it is, with Curly Lambeau and George Halas and Vince Lombardi and some of these really iconic figures of the NFL, and to see the different ways that the players really interacted with their coach and then reflected on my relationship with Coach. There's a lot of similarities between the two coaches, and you know, they demand the best of their players, and they don't give a damn you know, who you are or what you've done. I mean, they care about what you're going to do this week. And I think that's why, you know, Coach Belichick has been so successful, and that, you know, he never, you know, takes his foot off the gas pedal. There's no sugarcoating anything. It's, you know, this is what we need to do, and this is how we're going to do it. And if we don't do it, we're going to lose.
What do you think?
That's how he coaches us.
What do you think he'll do when he's done coaching you? Do you think we'll ever get to know him? Will he open up? Will we get a look behind the curtain at the Wizard someday?
I don't know. I mean, he's so much fun to be around. He's got such a great you know, memory. He's got so many great stories. He's had, you know, so many experiences with players and coaches and games. And he just loves football. I mean, more so than anything, that's what he wants to do. And you know, that's why I enjoy being around him. You know, I think I heard Brett Favre say, they said something about life after football, and his comment was, "Is there?" Hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, in some ways, I feel the same way. So I think that's, you know, Coach Belichick, he loves coaching. He loves this team. He loves this organization. And, you know, he loves winning. And, you know, there's not much more you could say about a coach than that.
Time now for our quarterback question of the week, brought to you by Northeast Electrical Distributors. This comes from Andrew in Dighton, Mass. He says, "Hey, Tom, when you watch an opponent's game film, what's the first thing you try to look for with the opposing defense?"
I mean, that's a great question. There's a lot of, you know, I like to watch, you know, of course, with the Jets, I've seen every game they play this year, which, you know, I try to watch every game that the team plays. And what you do is you try to... you know, you're obviously looking for tendencies and things that they like to do and things that they're successful at, but you're also looking for your matchups. And I think that's, you're looking on how your, you know, tight end will get open on their safeties, how your cornerbacks, you know, how their cornerbacks will play against your receivers. And, you know, we have a pretty extensive playbook. So, you know, the nice part about offense is we're a bit diverse. We use multiple personnel groupings and multiple formations to try to, you know, expose the defense's weakness. And, you know, that you're trying to search for the things that they don't do well. I mean, you're not saying, okay, well, let's see how many times we can throw at Darrell Revis this weekend. I mean, I don't think you go into a game finding their best player and saying, you know, let's really make sure this guy can stop us. I mean, I think you're trying to take advantage of the things that they don't do well and not really do the things that play into their strengths. So, you know, it's a long process. It lasts all week. You make changes all the way up to game time. And by the time the ball's kicked off, you feel real confident with everything that you have on the call sheet. You know, all the players are confident in the things that we're running. And then, you know, and then you get to go out and see how well it works.
And finally, has the University of Michigan called asking for your advice on a new head coach, and are you a Les Miles guy?
That's a great question. I mean, I think it's, you know, I love Michigan. I wish we were playing in a national championship game tonight. But, you know, I know that the people making those decisions, it's always tough firing coaches and hiring coaches and finding the right fit. But, you know, it's I don't know those coaching candidates too well. Mm. The man that they get needs to understand how special a place Michigan is, I'll tell you that.
Michigan call you at all for any advice?
On occasion, you know, but just more generically.
Right.
You know, I think that, you know, they're smart enough to figure out what they need to do to get the program back in the right direction.
Hey, we said earlier that we think tonight's national championship game, in terms of a rooting interest, you know, people not from Oregon or not from Auburn, look at this and say, am I rooting for Cam Newton or against him? Do you have a feeling about that?
I root for the quarterbacks. I don't know his whole situation, and I mean I know there's a lot of controversy surrounded by, you know, what had happened, but, you know, I don't get into that a whole lot. I just like watching good football. That's what I like doing. I'll probably be in bed by 9:30 because we have practice tomorrow morning. So I'll see about the first, you know, quarter and a half, but. You know, I'm sure it'll be a great game. It's two great offenses. I know that. It's going to be a high-scoring game.
I think the over-under is like 74.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that, you know, what Oregon has done, you know, when 15 years ago, they were a very average Big Ten team, and now they always seem to be the team to beat. They got a lot of good players. Patrick Chung, you know, is from there. And they have so many. Haloti Ngata is from there.
Mm.
Jarius Byrd, the safety from Buffalo, and T.J. Ward, the safety from Cleveland. I mean, it feels like LeGarrette Blount. I mean, they got a lot of good pro players now. So, you know, they're winning a lot of games, and you know, it'll be a hell of a game tonight.
All right, Tom, thanks for the conversation. Good luck against the Jets. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
All right, guys, take care.
Tom Brady.